This is the Archaeology News Weekly, and I'm David Connolly. This news is brought to you in partnership between Stone Pages and the British Archaeological Jobs and Resources website. All the stories have been collected from various sources, and to view details in each story, including the source, please see the Stone Pages website at news.stonepages.com. And now, the main headlines from around the world are as follows. Experts are to study Orkney's underwater past, and archaeologists have uncovered a 10,000-year-old site in Oregon. New discoveries in Duroft point to an ancient civilization, and divers are plumbing the depths of an ancient spring in Florida. There are hopes for a revival of an Iron Age centre in the UK, and a deliberate blaze destroys a stone circle's visitor's hut. Examination of dirty pots shows Neolithic Europeans made cheese and yoghurt, and there are new plans for a Stonehenge bypass. And following on from this, Stonehenge Road actually is a risk to birds, say the RSPB. Archaeologists unearth a 3,200-year-old woman in Vietnam, and reports come in about the world's oldest temple in San Urfa in Turkey. And finally, not to be beaten, the largest ever temple in the Arabian Peninsula is discovered in Yemen. Archaeologists in Orkney are seeking funding for a project to study the island's hidden treasures. Orkney-based independent archaeological consultant Carolyn Wicken-Jones said that they were keen to investigate the submerged prehistory around the islands. Orkney is renowned for its archaeology, and the main Neolithic sites of the islands were given World Heritage status in 1999. But Miss Wickham-Jones said that there was a hidden side to the archaeology of Orkney that most people knew very little about. At the end of the last ice age, the sea level around the islands was as much as 30 metres lower than it is today. And it was at this time, some 10,000 years ago, the first settlers came to the islands. She said that lower sea levels around Europe meant Britain was joined to the continent by a North Sea plateau, now known as Doggerland, but its treasures are in danger of being lost forever. And despite occasional indications of prehistoric settlement, Britain has been slow to realise the potential of this submerged landscape. The increasing value of the seabed for the extraction of aggregates and other development poses a major threat to the area, and this has alerted bodies to the need for research to understand the nature of the area before it is damaged beyond repair. Researchers from Oregon State University have analysed a second archaeological site on the southern Oregon coast in USA. This appears to be about 10,000 years old, and they're hopeful that their new methodologies will lead to the discovery of more older sites. The site, located on a bluff just south of Bandon in Oregon, included a large number of stone flakes, charcoal and fire-cracked rock, according to Roberta Hall, Professor Emeritus of Anthropology at OSU and principal investigator in the study. There are a lot of rock outcrops nearby that would have made a very good source for tools, and it appears that tool-making is one of the activities the site may have been used for. They only excavated two small trenches, so there's potential to find so much more. The OSU research team developed a model using geologic features, soil type and radiocarbon dating to pinpoint locations most likely to include the oldest settlements. Their theory, these older sediments hold the greatest potential for holding late Pleistocene or early Holocene sites. The discovery of a second ancient site in this manner validates their methods, the scientists say. Humans may have come to Oregon earlier than 12,000 years ago, the researchers are finding, but evidence of their habitation is agonizingly difficult to find. At that time, the ocean was much lower and the shoreline was a few kilometers west, meaning that any site that was on the coast during the late Pleistocene is now underwater. Rarely do the sites include any bones or other organic material, with the combination of wet weather and highly acidic soil accelerating decomposition. However, sites that contain a lot of mollusk shells, particularly clams, mussels and barnacles, will often include bones because the shells lower the acidity of the soil, thus slowing decomposition. But the further away sites are from the old coastline, the less likely researchers are to find mollusk shells. The Bandon area site was excavated down to 235 centimetres, which is considered very deep, and the researchers discovered charcoal in all but the uppermost layers. Artifacts, primarily stone flakes, were found as deep as 215 centimetres, which corresponds to a date of just over 10,000 years old. More sophisticated stone tools were found at shallower depths. Absent from the site, though, was evidence of much obsidian, which was plentiful at the Indian sand site near Brookings, though is not local in origin. Hall said the OSU team hopes to secure additional funding to look for other ancient sites along the Oregon coast. We know they're out there, she said, and now we know better how to find them. Latest archaeological excavations in Jiroft in Iran resulted in the discovery of a bronze statue depicting the head of a goat, which dates back to the 3rd millennium BCE. The statue was found in the lower layers of the Jiroft cemetery, revealing that the history of the Halil Rud region dates back to the 4th millennium BCE, a time that goes well beyond the age of civilization in Mesopotamia. One of the reasons the archaeologists and historians give for Mesopotamia to be the cradle of a civilization is that the most ancient evidence and relics which have been discovered in Jiroft so far date back to the 3rd millennium BCE, and therefore they argue that this region could not have been the place where civilization began. However, some cultural evidence and ancient artifacts belonging to the 4th millennium BCE were traced while digging a trench beneath the Matot Abad cemetery, which provides proof that the history of this region goes back to the 6th millennium BCE. That raises new questions about the history of the region and whether or not the civilization that lived here is older than that of the Mesopotamians. According to Yusuf Majidzadeh, geophysical operations by French experts in the region indicate the existence of at least 10 historical and archaeological periods in the region belonging to different civilizations who lived in the area. According to the French experts who studied this area, the evidence remained from these civilizations may be traced up to 11 meters under the ground. Casey Coy, who works for the Florida Aquarium, and Rick Gomez, diving safety officer for the University of Miami, are the first divers to explore the bottom of Little Salt Spring, a sinkhole in Northport that contains wooden stakes, stone tools and other artifacts used by Florida's earliest inhabitants, the Paleo Indians. While researchers from the University of Miami, led by John Gifford, have conducted several explorations of shallow parts of the spring over the past 20 years, no one has ever mapped out the bottom. Coy and Gomez completed 9 trips to the floor of the hourglass-shaped spring last week. They hope the data that they collect there will help answer basic questions about the spring, such as where does the water come from, what caused the spring to develop thousands of years ago, and why does the water act like formaldehyde, preserving organic artifacts from decomposition. The section of the sinkhole that has been studied so far has yielded ancient stones and tools, as well as the bones of prehistoric animals such as mastodons and mammoths. Some of the artifacts are 12,000 years old, when the archaeologists believe the spring was an oasis that attracted seasonal hunters and gatherers. Over time, the water table of the spring rose, protecting the remains of prehistoric man in the underwater sediment. Because of this, Little Salt Spring is considered one of the most significant archaeological sites in North America. Along with the exploration of the bottom, underwater archaeologists are continuing their investigation of the basin of the spring, a project that's been ongoing since 1992. About 40 feet down on the ledge, scientists have found 6 wooden stakes that are around 9,000 years old. They'll be back in June to continue the work on this project, which could take many years to complete. The Sinbury dream could rise from the ashes thanks to a new business proposal to run the Iron Age Centre. A new bidder has come forward to reopen the village near Clearwell in Gloucestershire, England, as a tourist attraction, but to learn from the mistakes made last year. The village, which gave visitors a chance to get away from it all, throw away modern trappings and live off the land for a holiday or educational visit, shut down last month because there was no money left. At the moment, the new bidder wishes to remain anonymous, but the company in charge of marketing Sinbury says it is hopeful for its future and believes it is close to concluding a deal. Angie Petkovic from APT Marketing said that they were very disappointed with what had happened, which is why they have worked so hard to get someone else involved. It's a fantastic project and just what the forest needs, and in the right hands will be a brilliant resource. Sinbury had been open for just 3 months when the cash ran out, following a series of setbacks. One of the problems was that it took longer than expected to gain planning permission for the venture, which meant its opening was delayed. The site attracted 1,000 visitors over the summer, way down on its targets, but all 3 former directors believe the project, which has the most of the infrastructure in place, can be made into a success. The Iron Age Centre was opened officially in August when TV presenter John Craven and his Countryfile team visited the site for its launch. It not only aimed to give people an alternative holiday, but to provide a fun and educational excursion back to the Iron Age, even if it was just for a day. The visitor hut at the Rollright Stones on the border of Oxfordshire and Warwickshire in England has been badly damaged in what police say is an arson attack. According to Andy Norfolk, trustee of the Rollright Trust, the roof at one end is badly damaged, but the walls are still sound. The hut has been used to store visitor guides and merchandise. Police say the fire was unrelated to an incident in March 2004 when the Neolithic stones were splashed with yellow paint. Flames were spotted by a passing motorist in the early hours, and PC Tony Auden said the fire had caused a significant amount of damage. He said arsonists had forced their way through a door and then set the hut alight. Don Prout, site manager, said he could not believe the Rollright Stones had suffered yet another round of bad luck. He added, "What's the matter with these people? We don't harm anybody. The public enjoys coming here." The building of the visitor hut in the 1990s is part of a long-term programme of improvements for the visitors to the site, managed by the Rollright Trust, a charity set up to care for the Neolithic site. Last year, they opened new paths giving wheelchair and buggy users better access, and the Trust has led the way with an audio tour for visitors to learn more about the site by downloading an MP3 file from the internet. A note appeared at the entrance to the stone circle, which sadly states the visitor hut was not insured. If you want to know more and hear the MP3, go to www.rollrightstones.co.uk. Dirty cooking pots dating back to nearly 8,000 years ago reveal that some of Europe's earliest farming communities produced dairy products, such as cheese and yogurt. Two separate studies indicate that Neolithic dairying took place in what is now Romania, Hungary and Switzerland. The discoveries suggest people in these regions might have originally learned how to process milk-based foods from Asian farmers. These findings lend support to the idea that the antiquity of dairying lies with the origins of animal domestication in Southwest Asia some 2 millennia earlier, prior to its transmission to Europe in the 7th millennium BCE, rather than it being a later and entirely European innovation. Oliver Craig, a scientist at Tor Vergata University in Rome, and his team have studied fatty residues stuck on ceramic cooking vessels found at the left bank of the Danube, near Romania, and at the Great Hungarian Plain. The dirty pots date from 5950 to 5500 BCE. Analysis of the fats suggests they belong to goat or sheep milk. George Spangenberg, a geochemist in Switzerland, conducted a similar study on dirty cooking pot shards found at a site on the southern western shore of Lake Constance in Switzerland. The shards date back to 3384 to 3370 BCE. The Swiss scientists compared the residues with those of fats found in today's organic milks and cheeses. The residue signatures closely match those for cow, goat and sheep milk. Since the pots have darkened, sooty undersides from apparent placement over fires, the researchers believe the milk was cooked and otherwise processed to keep it fresh and consumable. Freshly milked milk has a very short life, Spangenberg explained. He speculates that the Neolithic settlers at the Arbon site were consuming fermented milks and making relatively long-life milk products from these fermented milks, such as today's buttermilk, yogurt, butter and cheese, which could have been stored and consumed at much later dates. The researchers theorised that the cheese would have been very similar to modern fresh goat cheese and a farmer's cheese. Sour cream also likely was produced. Bones that belonged to domestic cows, pigs, goats, sheep and dogs also were found at the Swiss site, where numerous individual family farms appear to have been located around 6,000 years ago. The villagers seem to have eaten very well, in fact, as in addition to the animal bones, several fish bones were also excavated at the site, along with evidence of hazelnuts, strawberries, blackberries, raspberries, crab apples and slow plums. It sounds, if I may say, like a very fine diet indeed. The British government published 5 options for road schemes around the ancient British monument of Stonehenge, including a tunnel under the site, rejected as too expensive last year. The circular monument of massive stones in Wiltshire, southwest England, lies between 2 busy roads, one carrying up to 33,000 vehicles a day. Conservationists and government agencies responsible for the site have for years been seeking a way of reducing or diverting the traffic to improve the monument's immediate surroundings. Since 1991, some 50 alternative road routes have been considered, culminating in government approval in 2002 for a scheme to reroute traffic from the busy A303 through a 2-kilometre tunnel bored underneath the Stone Circle itself. But last July, the Highways Agency was ordered to review the scheme after the estimated cost escalated to £510 million. As well as the bored tunnel, the five options published for public consultation by the Highways Agency include a cut-and-cover tunnel, first rejected in 2002, new roads further to the north or south of the monument, and a partial solution, which would retain the A303 but shut the smaller A344 road passing the north side of the monument. Conservationists say the tunnel and new road proposals would all cut through the Stonehenge World Heritage Site, damaging a 26 square kilometre area containing over 400 prehistoric monuments. Archaeologist Kate Fielden of Stonehenge Alliance, an umbrella body of conservation groups, said the best solution would be a 4.5 kilometre tunnel going under the entire World Heritage Site, an option itself rejected on cost grounds in 1996. The public consultation period runs from the 23rd of January to the 24th of April this year, with public exhibitions being held in Salisbury on the 9th to the 11th of February and in London on the 17th to the 18th of February. A final report, based on the consultation, is due to be submitted to ministers by early summer 2006. And while we're on the subject, alternatives to an underground road tunnel at Stonehenge could threaten the recovery of one of Britain's rarest birds, the Royal Society for the Protection of Birds has warned. The Society said proposals for two overground routes would destroy nesting and roosting sites of the secretive stone curlew, which only has two UK strongholds, one of which is in the area surrounding the Stonehenge World Heritage Site. It said the plans would also harm prospects for more than 25 other bird species and 14 butterfly species. Tony Richardson, director of the RSPB South West Region, said that a completely new road through the Stonehenge sites is unthinkable, not only because of its obvious archaeological value, but also because of the public outcry it will spark amongst the millions of people who value Britain's wildlife. Approval for any overground route will make a mockery of the government's desire to get this mysterious and vulnerable bird back on its feet. The RSPB believes the government should not consider the northern or southern overground routes as viable options and hopes that the review process will lead to the adoption of a route less damaging for the area's wildlife. Tony Richardson said that future generations will thank the government of today if it tries to safeguard the Stonehenge area from the irreversible destruction that an overground route will cause. Such a road would be an unforgivable addition to the threats that many species already face. Archaeologists in northern Vietnam have unearthed the skeleton of a young woman buried at least from 3,200 to 3,700 years ago. The discovery is one of the oldest human remains found in archaeological sites, documenting the emergence of the Vietnamese civilization during the Bronze Age in the Red River Delta. The skeleton, believed to be of a woman aged 20 to 30 when she died, was discovered in a tomb being excavated in Phu Tho province, 80 kilometres west of Hanoi. The 1.5-metre-tall woman was buried with hundreds of pieces of pottery, and the surrounding area has yielded axes, chisels and utensils such as vases and bowls. The Phu Tho site in the remote village of Ren represents the earliest evidence of the Hung dynasty, considered the first Vietnamese rulers. According to the tradition, the first Vietnamese ruler was Hung Vuong, who founded his dynasty in 2879 BCE. The rise of the Hung dynasty, which ruled until around 300 BCE, was marked by the beginning of rice cultivation in the area. One of Germany's leading newspapers, Die Welt, reported that the world's oldest temple, dating back around 12,000 years, is located on Göbekli Hill in Turkey's province of Sanlıurfa. According to an article titled Holy Hill of the Hunters, the temple was discovered by German archaeologist Klaus Schmidt. Standing around 15 metres in height and located on a hill upon which a single tree stands. The paper said local people considered the lone tree a will tree, and that this tradition was not so surprising since the temple was one of the most important sacred places of ancient times. Indicating that previously a 9,000-year-old temple in Jordan was considered to be the world's oldest, the article commented that some parts of ancient history should be rewritten after this discovery. It also made reference to the stone figures and columns discovered at the excavation site, suggesting that hundreds of people had worked to transport and erect these columns. Archaeologists in Shabwa Governorate have discovered what is said to be the largest temple ever discovered in the Arabian Peninsula, dating back to the 5th century BCE. The Italian archaeological expedition say it is one of the oldest and most extensive temples ever discovered in the region. They found the temple on their recent dig, which lasted for 25 days. Kairan Mohensen Al-Zubairi, the director of archaeology in Shabwa, said he believed that it was the largest temple ever found in the Arabian Peninsula. The temple is 42 metres in length and 35 metres wide. He added that the work was continuing to clear the sand that still covered the site. However, he said that Italian archaeologists had reached an initial conclusion that a temple of such size could have been a royal palace for a Gatban state king. The temple contains 9 foundations at the entrance to its yard, with 16 platforms made of granite. Archaeological experts say that several religious rituals were practiced in this temple. Experts estimate that there could have been as many as 60 temples in Tamna alone. Al-Zubairi added that digging will continue in the eastern section of the temple complex to find more information about the site. He said that archaeologists also hope to see if further secrets could be revealed in the surrounding buildings. And once again, can I remind you that many new archaeological and heritage employment opportunities, as well as a UK heritage calendar, library and guidance section, can be found on Badger. That's www.bajr.org. And remember that more can also be found at Stonepages, news.stonepages.com. Thank you for listening to Archaeology News Weekly, and we hope you'll return again next week.